Can somebody say, God is so good? No. All right. Amen. Tell them, you're all right too. Amen. It's great to be with you. And how many are enjoying the rain? Whoa, ho. I talked to my wife this morning, and we're getting rained out in Indiana. Just flooding in the area there and everything. But God's good. Amen. He controls the rains, right? Amen. So I'm excited to be here. Many familiar faces, amen, from over the years and history of the ministry here and working with your pastors for a lot of years, amen. And just so good to see them and family and all of you here. And glad to see vision. Everybody say vision.
Vision.
Glad to see vision alive, amen. And I'm glad to see the increase, amen, of the glory of God that's coming to your city. Amen. As I drove into Marion, Ohio on a Friday afternoon, amen, I just sensed a new wave of glory coming to your city. Amen. So wherever you work, whatever you do, amen, get your faith in place, get your heart, right alignment, and begin to decree a thing and begin to believe, amen, for kingdom release in your behalf. Amen. And God's pouring his glory out upon the city. And we're honored to be able to bring blessings to you from Bishop Bill Hammond. You probably haven't heard him for quite a while. Amen. But he just turned 84. How many of you in here know Bishop Bill Hammond? Or you've heard him or read his books? I know in our schools and all we teach his books. And he's known as the father of the prophetic, the apostolic, a pioneer in restoration and building of the kingdom of the church. And he just turned 84. Hallelujah. Amen. Going strong, traveling to the nations of the world. And he said he's going to take off the first 3 months of 2019 to write 3 more books. So I think he's written like 17. I think he's trying to get 20 in. I'm not sure. Amen. He always has a goal, set before him. But my wife sends her love to everybody. Some of you may remember my wife, Donna, and some may not. Amen. But she sends her love and greetings to everybody, and especially to pastors and family. Amen. She remembers you so very well. Praise God. Amen. We're going to break right into the word this morning. And I want time to be able to minister to pastors, because when we minister to the pastors, we're ministering to the head. Everything that happens in the body starts in the head and goes all the way down. Amen. Just like the anointing oil poured on Aaron's head, flowed down through his beard all the way to the hems of his garment. Amen. So when we minister to the head, it flows down to the whole body. Amen. So whatever Father says to your pastors, you can reach out and take hold of that for you. Amen. Because we are one family. Say, we're one family. I'm gonna get rid of this if I can before I break it.
Okay.
I don't think I need that. I'll cause a screen to go up or something to happen accidentally. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say enlargement. Amen. Friday night we started with a message, and I shared then that through this weekend, amen, I'm decreeing enlargement, expansion, and yes, we're addressing us as a corporate church, as a local body of people, but I'm also addressing you as business people, your businesses, your families, amen, and that your purpose, why God has you here, amen, why he has you in the place that he has you, amen, but it's time for enlargement, it's time for expansion, it's time for that next level, and I believe Marion Christian Center is positioned, amen, for to be shifted in this kingdom time, amen, on the earth. How many of you know we have a lot of war in the nation, and we have a lot of distractions in politics, amen, and a lot of people warring against each other, and sadly to say, even churches warring against each other. Look at somebody and say, it should not be so. Should not be so. Amen. But somewhere there has to be an agreement in the body of Christ. Amen. Not that we fully agree with everything everybody does, but we have to come in agreement, amen, with our purpose and why God has us here, and to make sure that all these distractions do not get you out of faith or off course or out of relationship or isolated or orphaned. Amen. How many appreciated that song we were singing this morning? That was powerful. Amen. And but it is a time of resurrection. It's a time for us to go to that next level, but you go to that next level with vision. Amen. And so I believe the Lord is speaking to us about expansion. I shared Friday night in the beginning of the year, we believe God to hear an essence of what God is saying through the year. We don't hear the entirety because we know in part, we prophesy in part, and God gives us the part that we need to have at the time. Amen. And so Bishop Hammond received a word in the beginning of the year in part. Amen. And his word was, is that as we are co-laboring with God this year, in other words, we are working with the word of God. James 1:24-25 says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at somebody say doers. Amen. So we can hear a lot of word, but it's not until that you allow that word to become ingrained in you, amen, that that word becomes like fluid in your veins, amen, and it begins to bring life in your spirit, amen. So he said, be doers of the word and not just hearers. That word doers actually means to work the word. Say work the word. In other words, once you know the word, the Bible says you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. But once you know the word, amen, then you put the word to work. In other words, do what the word is saying to do. Amen. And he said, if we co-labor with God and we're obedient to his commandments. Look at somebody and say, God hasn't changed his mind. Amen. His commands are still his commandments, and we need to walk according to his commandments. If you don't know the commandments, I encourage you to memorize them, learn the commandments, because it's hard to be obedient to something you don't know. Amen. So learn the commandments. Get them into your spirit. Amen. But as we co-labor with God, we're obedient to his commandments. He said it's going to be a glorious and a prosperous year from here forward. Amen. Say glorious and prosperous. And I want to decree that word. I want to decree that word, amen, over Marion Christian Center, that you're coming into a glorious and a prosperous season and a prosperous breakthrough. You're coming into that next level, amen, where things have tried to frustrate you. Things have tried to work against you. Things have tried to set you back. God said, this is the season if you'll mix your faith and bring your confession in alignment with your heart. Come on now and begin to speak those things that are not as though they were. And believe it in your heart. Come on, God said that he will work a miracle in your behalf. Amen. And so I decree that over this house this morning. Amen. That this will be a glorious and a prosperous beginning for this church, for this vision, for your families, for your businesses. Amen. It doesn't matter what's happening in the city. God's going to put you on top. God will literally shift things. He will move things, amen, just to position you. Amen, for our young people and millennials, amen, God has the next level for you, amen, in America, amen, and in the nations of the world, amen. We're going to see the younger generation begin to arise and begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord. I was in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, I believe it was 2 years ago, and a prophetic word just came out of my spirit while I was ministering, because the Holy Spirit just impacted me that there's going to be a fresh wind of heaven that's going to begin to blow on young people and on millennials and on the coming generations, and the young people are going to begin to arise and begin to defend their rights and begin to defend their nation and begin to take responsibility where we thought they was unresponsible. They're going to begin to take responsibility, amen, and they're going to begin to petition heaven in relation to their nation, their life, their future. Amen. So we know that there's a new generation arising. Amen. That doesn't mean one replaces the other. It means that we begin to invest in what is coming so that we can work together, amen, to fulfill a dream. You know, that didn't really become a reality to me until I'm turned 75, and now I'm beginning to think about life just a little bit different. You know, when I was 65, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the next 10 years are going to be the best years of your life. Woo! I thought, glory to God. Amen. So I thought, I'm going to have two-year intervals, Pastor Perry, and every 2 years I'm going to measure my progress, amen, for this next 10 years. Well, would you believe, 10 years happened so fast, I forgot about the 2 years. Can anybody relate with that? Yeah. Amen. And so I was wondering why time was going so fast, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, time's not going faster. He said, I just have you doing more. Amen. There's more demands put on you today than any time of your life. More demands put on our family and on our children today than any time of our life. Amen. But he said that next 10 years is going to be the best years of your life. And those years slip by so fast. Now I'm working on, you know, now be 85. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm determined. I'm going to begin to measure these years. Amen. The Bible says that God knows our length of days. Amen. He knows the measure of our life. He knows everything that is in our life. Amen. So as we co-labor with him and we work with him and we're obedient to his commandments, it's going to be a glorious and a prosperous breakthrough. I spoke with Bishop just the other day, and he says, you know what? I've not experienced the glorious, prosperous part yet. But he said, I'm determined to confess it and decree it and believe it until I receive it. Amen. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Don't get, run out of that grave. Glory to God. Run out of that place of impossibility. Run out of that opposition. Run out, amen, of the thing that tried to be a hindrance or a blockage to you. I'm telling you, when you get into the presence of the Lord and the presence of revelation and you receive that by faith, you can destroy the powers of darkness and every spirit of limitation that the enemy would try to work against you. Amen. So it's a new season of breakthrough. His son, Pastor Tom Hammond, who pastors the Vision Church there in at Cushing International in Florida, he had a little different word this year, and I'm sharing this because I took it very much to heart. Amen. In 2008, we begin to hear words about gates, and we begin to preach about gates and open gates and the gates of heaven and the apostles of Lamb at the gates and everybody's purpose and function, amen, in the gates that God is opening on the earth and going through your gates. And we, it was not only Christian National, it was other networks. People begin to hear the word gates and begin to speak more about get through your gate, get to the other side of your gate, don't be late, don't stay in the place where you're at, amen, but press on through your gates. But Pastor Tom heard just a little different word this year, and I want to leave it here as a deposit. He heard, begin to battle at your gates. Everybody say, battle at your gate. And the reason that we're sharing that is because the devil does not want you to go through your gate, and he does not want you to break through the place that you are in. And giants have been assigned at your gates. Say giants. Amen. Giants of opposition. And I took this serious enough. I give it to our intercessors and our prayer warriors. And I said, take each one of these giants. Let's annihilate them. Let's destroy them. Let's obliviate them. Let's perhaps get them totally out of here. But he just gave eight giants, and I'll give those to you. Giants of intimidation, giants of humiliation, giants of false accusation, giants of depression, oppression, giants of deception and manipulation, giants of pollution and dilution. The enemy's tried to assign giants at your gates. Business people, if you're not pressing your business through to that next level, there are giants at your gates saying that you're not allowed to go through there. You know why? Because you're a tithe payer, because you're a believer in Christ, amen, because you're standing for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, and the devil tries to purpose that you cannot get your reward on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. And so sometime we have to identify, amen, you didn't just get weary, you didn't just get tired, you didn't just miss the season. It wasn't just that it was a wrong time in your life. No, you were right on time. You're right on schedule, but there's giants assigned at your gate that said you can't break through here. And I want to break that assignment off of this congregation, off of this vision, off of this house, off of your businesses, off of your family, because this is going to be a gate-breaking season, amen, that you're going to break on through. And you're going to come on through, and you're going to birth all that God has purposed for you to birth. Look at somebody say, we're not backing up. I don't know about you, but I've sowed too much, come too far, decreed too much, believed too much to look backwards. Come on, already been there, done that, ain't going back to that. Come on now. And so we must war at the gate and determine we're going to break on through. Amen. And so I want to encourage you this morning, begin to battle at your gate. Don't turn and say maybe next year, maybe next month. No, when you run into opposition, stand your ground and begin to defeat the enemy right there. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophetess Jane Hammond, Apostle Tom Hammond's wife, amen, well known prophetess throughout the world, really. And she travels the world wide. She'll be in our conference in another week there in Indiana. But she had a prophetic word this year, amen, that of a new release of a prophet's reward. Now, I'm sharing these things because once we release a word into the airwaves, it never ceases, and this word will be active long after I leave. Come on now. Amen. She received a word of a new release of the prophet's reward. Now, the prophet's reward has always been, amen, if you sow a seed into the prophet or into the word of God, amen, that there is a prophet's reward. And we understand the prophet's reward we find in 2 Kings chapter 4 with a Shunammite woman, amen, that she was believing God for a miracle for a son, and her husband, you might say, was a little overaged, lost the vision, lost excitement, and just could not produce a son for his wife. Come on. And every time the prophet came to that city, they had the prophet stay in their home. How many of you understand, know this story in the Bible? Amen. It's an account, not just a story. Amen. It's an account in the scriptures written for our example. Amen. But they had the prophet stay in their house. Amen. And because they wanted to be in that atmosphere, they wanted that anointing. Amen. They wanted an impartation. But I believe she had something in her heart that she was believing God for. You know, you come to a place in life, in ministry, in business, in family, amen, where you get desperate. Has anybody ever got desperate? You might say the Shunammite woman was in a place of desperation. She was desperate, amen, for a miracle that money couldn't buy. And she wanted a son. You know, there are just some things that money will not resolve for you. Come on, we just had multimillionaires, actors and all this year that took their own life. Millions of dollars. Good people, good, nice-looking people. Just, you know, why would somebody take their life that way? We don't know what all their miseries were, but the point is, out of all the money that they had, it could not satisfy or it could not buy what they needed. Come on now. And out of desperation, took their own lives. Come on, you can come to a place of desperation. That Shunammite woman was in a place of desperation. She wanted a son. Her husband and her, they just could not produce the son. Amen. So she wanted the prophet to come so much that she said, hey, baby, the prophet's coming this next year. Let's start a construction project. Let's just add a room to the home. How, you know, that's pretty serious. Come on. Husband comes in agreement with, they build a prophet's chamber on the home. And according to scriptures, you know, the prophet says, man, they took care of me. That room was so comfortable. That was such a, I was so blessed. Amen. When I got into that room, I want to do something for that Shunammite woman. And Gehazi, his servant, spoke to him and said, well, I know something that she would like. The prophet said, what would that be? He said, well, you know, she wants a son, and her husband is too old, and they've just not been able to reproduce, and she is just desperate for a son, and she knows that they are aging, and she's afraid that it's never going to happen. And the prophet said, bring her to me. And he prophesied to her right there. And he said, next year at this time, you're going to be holding a bouncing little baby boy, if you can keep him off the curtains. You're going to have a bouncing little baby boy. And how many of you know, when you receive a word like that, it causes an excitement in you. It breaks something free in you. It brings a liberty in you. And but that wasn't her response. Come on now. I have things that I'm believing God for now. Amen. That money is not the issue. I need a supernatural miracle. And I don't just need one miracle. I need miracle after miracle. I want to decree a wave of miracles over this congregation. Come on, you don't just need one miracle, one break. You need miracle after miracle after miracle. You need a miracle to support the miracle. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You want to get so far out of the recess, come on now, where you're into Canaan. You're into the land of more than enough. Come on. And so her response to the prophetic word was, don't tease me with the word. I didn't ask you for the word. And don't tease me with the word. The prophet says, I'm not teasing you. Next year, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy. Well, would you believe, a year later, She has a bouncing baby boy. Amen. And she got the miracle that money can't buy. Amen. Some of you in here today, you're needing a miracle that money's not the issue. Amen. But this is a fresh release of the prophet's reward. Amen. You be faithful in your giving. You be faithful, not just giving of money, giving of your life, giving of your talents, giving of your abilities, giving of your first fruits, and bringing the first that you have to the altar of God. Come on now. That's what the Shunammite woman was doing. She was giving the very best, amen, to the prophet, and she was investing a seed into the anointing and not the man. Come on. Why? Because she had a need that money could not buy. Amen. Father, just lay your hands on your heart with me. In Jesus' name, right now. God, you know every heart in this congregation this morning. You know every position, every place. God, you know every need. You know every situation. You know every blockage. You know every resistance. God, you know everything that has been on hold. And I decree a fresh release of the prophet's reward over this house. Lord, reward them for the seed that they've sown. God, give them the miracles that money cannot buy, and release them like waves of miracle after miracle. Miracle of miracles over Marion Christian Center. In Jesus' name, I pray. God, give him the city. God, give him the favor. God, give him position in the state. God, give him position in the nation, in the nations of the world, oh God. Lord, fan into a flame the vision and the purpose that you have for this house and these leaders. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. But this is a new release of the prophet's reward. Now I'm going to ask you to turn into your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, page 647 in my Bible. I want to read a few scriptures. Now I want to leave this as a deposit, amen, of a word of the Lord in this house. It says, sing, O barren. Everybody say, sing. Sing. I believe the next wave of our breakthrough and our warfare is going to come through song. It's going to come through worship. How many of you could feel the presence of the Lord in worship this morning? Well, let me just share with you some things that was happening. It wasn't just something that was putting a thrill or putting an excitement in us or just a peace in us. You was entering into a chamber, or you was entering into a place with the Father, and as you begin to sing by faith, your worship was becoming a weapon of war. Say a weapon of war. Yeah, whenever you praise, whenever you begin to sing about the glory, whenever you begin to sing about the resurrection, whenever you begin to sing about the breakthrough, come on now, you are actually waging war against the enemy. Come on. And so while we were singing, we was waging war this way. He said, sing, O barren, you who have not born yet. And he said, break forth into singing and cry out loud. Woo! Look at somebody say, God likes it loud. You know, sometimes the enemy would just want you to be real silent and be real quiet and be a whisper. The Bible says that with the mouth, confession is made with words, with breath, with sounds, amen, about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. If we will confess it and we will believe it, come on now, in our heart, you shall be saved. There's power in the words that you speak. According to Proverbs, the power of life and death is in the tongue and the words that you speak. I believe we need to be careful about what we're saying. Come on. Sometimes I don't believe we're fully aware of the power and the authority that is invested in you. Come on now. That when you begin to speak a thing and you decree it and you believe it in your heart. Come on now. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe in your heart and you shall receive it. Come on now. Whenever you begin to speak a thing and you believe it in your heart. Come on. There is power in the words that you speak. You can literally destroy the powers of darkness. When you begin to release worship unto the Lord, as we was releasing this morning, your worship is a weapon of war. Can I just break some religious mentality? You know, sometimes we save worship for when we get to church. Come, when I get to church Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or whenever we come, there's going to be worship. Let me just decree to you, there should be worship in your home. Amen. Businessmen, break out of your old mold. You may not feel like you can carry a tune in the bucket. It just doesn't matter. It's about being obedient. Sing with what you got. Come on. Sing at your doorsteps of your work. Come on, when you go through the door and you unlock the doors, amen, just begin to release a song. Why? Because your praise is a weapon of war. And every time that you praise, every time that you are worshiping, amen, you are laying stripes, you might say, upon the back of the enemy. Come on. How many of you understand that Lucifer, the devil, is not a god? How many of you understand that? He is a fallen angel. Say, he's a fallen angel. That means he is an angel in heaven that failed. Come on now. Unfortunately, he rambled around in heaven enough to where he allowed a spirit of pride to enter in. And all of a sudden, Lucifer thought he was equal to God. Come on. The Bible says that Lucifer enticed over a third of the angels of heaven. Think about it. The first church split wasn't here on earth. First church split was in heaven. Come on now. The first war wasn't on earth. The first war was in heaven. Come on. Revelation chapter 12 gives you the whole account. Come on now. That Lucifer was trying to war against God in heaven and comparing himself to God. The Bible says that Lucifer was the epitome of beauty. He was beautiful. He had every sound. He had everything that was attractive. Come on. He was the chief musician and worship leader of heaven. Come on. The Bible says that he was warring against the angels of heaven, against Michael, against Gabriel. If you can even imagine a warfare in heaven. But it got severe enough that all of a sudden God steps in the picture. Look at somebody say, come on, God. Come on in. Step in the picture here. Amen. God stepped in the picture and God began to wage war with the angels. And here's what God decreed to Lucifer. He said, Lucifer, there's no more room for you in heaven. Say, there's no more room. Can I just challenge you? Go back to your home and say, Lucifer, there's no room for you in our home. Go to your business and say, Lucifer, there's no more room for you in our business. Come on now. Go into your community and say, Lucifer, there's no more room for you in our community. Stand as a corporate body where one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, and we can keep adding to that multiplication, amen, to where it's beyond imagination, amen. But when we begin to decree, Lucifer, there's no more room for you in Marion, Ohio. There's no more room for you in our state. Come on, we begin to drive the enemy. Come on, some of you Buckeyes ought to understand what warfare is. Come on now, when the enemy is pushing hard against you, amen, you have to arise with a spirit of warfare, amen, and you have to break through. Come on. This is a breakthrough season. I'm trying to release a prophetic declaration to you this morning that this is a time for enlargement. Enlargement does not just happen. You have to possess it. Come on. You're the one that has to pray. You have to get faith and you have to have the vision and you have to bind together in a power of unity. Come on now. If you have one working here and one working there, amen, the enemy will keep you divided. And where there is division, there's no vision. Come on. But I'm hearing that this is a time of supernatural breakthrough for Marion Christian Center. Amen. As we arise and we begin to wage war and begin to lay stripes upon the enemy's back. Come on now. Lucifer has been cast out of heaven. He has been stripped of all of his authority. He's been stripped of his power. And the Bible says he is very angry. Why is he angry? The Bible says because he only has a little time left. Say a little time. Come on. But you have to understand that everything that was given to Lucifer in praise and worship and sound was taken away from him and it was given to the church, the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how pretty you sing. What matters is that you sing. Why? Because the Bible said, sing
old barren, those of you who have not born yet, in other words, your breakthrough has not come yet, and what you've been believing for hasn't happened yet. Come on now. He said, sing and begin to release a spirit of warfare against your enemy. You realize that you are the devil's tormentor? Because some people have got it backwards. They think that God, the devil, can just follow them wherever they go and just cause me all of this trouble. No, many times we are our most problem. Come on, sometimes we are our biggest problem. Come on. But Lucifer's an angel. He can't follow you. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. I'm afraid that we make Lucifer too big and God too small, and we need to bring a kingdom shift and say, how great is our God? How big is our God? And little old Lucifer, you're under my feet according to the word of God. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, raise the standard. So I believe God said this is a time for enlargement. It's a time for increase. It's a time for breakthrough. It's a time for next level. It's a time to expand our vision. So he said, cry out loud. Come on. In our worship, don't miss an opportunity, men and women, don't miss an opportunity to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, to shout unto God with a voice of praise. You know, I remember going back into my dark ages. All of us came out of sin some way or another. And we all come out of our dark ages one way or another. Amen. Naturally, we received Christ, the light, and he drove all darkness out of us. Amen. But there was a time in my life when I did not feel free to sing. I didn't feel free to praise. I didn't feel free to decree. I didn't feel that freedom because I allowed a veil to separate me from God. What was the veil? The veil was sin. The veil was unforgiveness. The veil was things that were contrary to the will and word and purpose of God. And when you allow that, it's like a veil that separates you from a legal right to enter into the full of the presence of God. Come on now. When God turned that all around in my life in 1978, I had an angelic visitation that I don't have time to share. Amen. But it scared enough in me, amen, that it put a righteous fear of God in me that immediately I began to bring a kingdom shift in my life. And I said, I've got to get it together. Come on now. Well, I got it together. And I met elders. Every pastor and elder would love this story because I called from a construction site in Denver, Colorado, and I called the pastor's office, and I said, I need elders or somebody to meet me at the church because I'm coming to lay on the altar and turn my life back over to God. How'd you like to have a call like that? Have 1,000 of them, right? Come on. Because all of us have had that breaking point where we had to break out of the old nature and we had to break into the kingdom of God. But listen, you had to lay everything on the altar and you have to turn it all over to God. Come on, I laid it all on the altar and I turned it all over to God. And God transformed my life and he transformed my future. Come on. I'm activating a word of transformation in here this morning. God said, this is your transformation season, and it's a turnaround time, and you're going to do an about face, and you're not going to run any longer, and you're going to do an about face, and you're going to face your enemies. Come on now. And you're going to declare the word of the Lord out of your mouth, that he is Lord and him alone. And there shall be no other gods before us. Come on now. And there'll be no other idols that we'll be able to get between us. And no veil is going to separate me from the presence of God. Well, I determined, as radical, like Paul the Apostle, as radical as I was in my old nature, I want to be even more radical in my new nature in Christ Jesus. So I take advantage now of worship. I raise my hands. I set my feet to dancing. I'll spin my body about. These shoes don't like to turn. Amen. But you know, I'm not nervous about worshiping God now. Why? Because I believe in the manifest presence and the power of God, that my praise is a weapon of war. I don't just clap my hands. I drive nails into the head of the enemy. Wow, I'm going to clap my hands the harder. I don't just dance, hallelujah. I'm dancing on the head of the enemy. He's under my feet. The Bible says ashes, 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 ashes under your feet. Whenever you praise, whenever you worship, you are laying stripes upon the enemy. I believe, and I'm decreeing this, I believe in this season that praise and worship and song and prophetic song and songs of declaration. Come on now. We don't just need to sing pretty songs. We need to sing songs that possess. We need to sing songs that literally tear down the powers of darkness. We need to sing songs that welcome in the glory. That's what we was doing this morning. This was a powerful, powerful warfare worship service this morning. Give our worshipers a hand. So look at somebody say enlargement. He said, this is a time, this is a time when they, when that barrenness is being broken off of you, being broken off of your family, being broken off of your business, whatever has not broken through yet, determined in your heart, this is our time for enlargement. I'm not going to let any devil in hell put a limitation about me. I'm going to break out. Come on. Let me tell you a real quick story. I have to be real quick. I was worshiping God one morning. Powerful worship service. Pastor Mike, I mean, it was just a real kingdom release. And I was worshiping God. And then I get in the platform, such as where I'm at this morning, if you can keep me there. And and I begin to preach. And many times, Pastor, I'm sure you've discovered this, that when you begin to preach, God begins to preach to you. Now, I'm not that smart. You know, it's hard for me to do two things at one time. I'm trying to say something, God, and you're trying to tell me something else at the same time. Come on now. And so I begin to release the message or what I felt to be the word of the Lord. And God talks to me like this. I've learned to listen. It's a small, still voice of the Lord in my spirit. And I heard the Lord say, did you worship me with all your heart this morning? And I'm like, what has that got to do with what I'm talking about? I'm trying to go this way. He's trying to go that way. I'm trying to keep my thoughts and trying to keep what I'm saying. And I said, yes, God, I did. I worship you. I danced. I raised my hand. I kicked my foot. Woo. I felt I'd done more than others done. Are you with me? And so he left me alone for a couple minutes. And all of a sudden he spoke and he said, so you really did worship me with all your heart. And I'm like, something's wrong here because he's asking me the same question twice. How many of you know that after twice you should get it? You should. And so I just kept preaching. But then in my response to him, while I'm preaching, my response was this. God, I could have worshiped you stronger and harder. I could have given a sacrifice of worship that would have exceeded the way I worship you. What'd you do, Apostle? I was coming into an acknowledgement and to an alignment. Come on now, that whatever you give to God, there's always more. Whatever God gives to you, there's always more. He is the good Father. I was in prayer one morning before our service, and I was talking to Father. I was in the sanctuary by myself, and while I'm praying, I just crying out to God, and I heard God ask me, he said, do you love me? I said, I'm praying, and I said, yes, God, I love you. And I just keep praying. Then I heard it twice. Do you love me? Yes, God, I love you. And I just kept praying. Finally, I begin to think, I've heard this somewhere before. This is in the Bible. This happened in the Bible. This happened with Brother Peter. Yeah. And then the third time he asked me, do you really, really love me? And I said, yes, God, I love, I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you. Come on. He said, well, what if I never work another miracle for you? What if I never give you another financial breakthrough? What if I never healed your body? What if I never let you just feel my presence again? Would you still love me? And to be real honest with you, I discovered I still had flesh. Come on. I discovered that, you know, that something in me that hesitated. You know, if I don't get something for something, can I really do something? Is everybody with me? I thought about it for just a minute, and then I repented. Forgive me, Father, for pausing. You know. But then my response was this: God, I want to love you with all my heart, with all that I have and with all that I am and the best that I know how. And I want to go the extra mile. And I just want to give you, I want to love you with all that I have. He said, Apostle Leon, that's all I'm asking is that you will love me unconditionally the way that I love you. I don't want you to love me for what I can do for you. I want you to love me for who I am and for what I am. Come on now. I want you to love me for the right reason. You know, sometimes we're happy with God if we're breaking through, and if all of a sudden you're going through a trial and a hard mile, amen, we seem to turn our back on faith, turn our back on people, turn our back on the graces of God. Come on. God is speaking to us this morning. He said, this is our season of enlargement. Here's how it works. We're going to have a powerful meeting here next week. You're going to have a man come in here that's been able to impact the world. And he's going to draw a large crowd. And this place is going to be packed, jam-packed, inside, outside, and all around. This place is going to be full, and you're going to be busy. And we're going to need all of you to participate, not just listen. Come on now. Say enlargement. Receive that as a prophetic release, as a prophetic beginning. Come on now. And what we see enlarging in this meeting, amen, can happen in reality with us as a church. Come on now. God wants us to expand our borders, expand your tent stakes, reach beyond where you've reached before, believe beyond where. Don't just go through the motions to get what you can so you can survive. You're not just survivors. You are thrivers. Come on now. We need to dive into the power and the presence and the manifest revelation of the Word of God and go to that next level and say, I am determined. I have made up my mind. I'm expanding my borders. And no devil in hell is going to be able to keep me from what God paid a price to get, breaking out, walking right out of that grave, walking out of that place. Lay your hands on your heart in Jesus' name. Father, it's not how much we say as much as what we say. And Father, I know that this is a time of enlargement, a time of increase. And in Isaiah 54, you're telling us, oh God, that our shame of our past and our failures of our past and our weaknesses of our past and our idioticies and all of the things that we go through in life, that none of those things will bring shame or anything against us. Lord, that those things are eradicated, they are erased, and they are no longer existent. Father, it is so separated out of your mind and heart as the heavens are from the waters of the seas. Lord, I pray for every mind and every heart in here this morning that their past is so far behind them that they don't have to call it to remembrance, oh God, that they can have the heavenly vision. Paul said, I was faithful to the heavenly vision. Lord, that they can be faithful to the vision and the place that you have positioned them in. Lord, I bind every devil in hell and every cohort of the enemy and any fallen angel, oh God, that has tried to create any problems in their lives. And God, I come against it in Jesus' name. And we empower them by the word of the Lord to begin to stand and to wage a good warfare with the authority and the spiritual right that you have invested in them through your blood shed on Calvary. Lord, I believe. I believe so much, God. And Father, this is a new season for Marion Christian Center. Oh, it's a reset time. Everybody say reset. It's a reset time. God, we draw the line on the past, and Lord, we hit our reset, and Lord, we're shifting to that next level and that next place in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap. God is so good.